Good morning, my friend, and welcome to the broadcast this morning of the Pine Top Church of Christ. Pine Top Church of Christ is located at 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky. You can reach us by email at pinetopchurchofchrist, all small case letters, at gmail.com. We encourage you to reach out to us with any biblical question that you have. And also, we encourage you to come and be with us this morning in our services. Now, these times are Central Standard Times. We will be starting at 9 a.m. for a period of Bible study, 9:45 a.m. for a period of worship, and at 4:30 p.m. this evening for a period of worship. Again, these are all times of Central Standard Time, and we encourage you to come and be with us. My name is Steve Niemeyer. I was with you back in October on the program, and I was with the congregation at Pine Top, the Church of Christ there, as we conducted a gospel meeting, and we talked about the power of the empty tomb during that meeting. During that meeting, I mentioned that I would be making another trip over to Sierra Leone, West Africa, particularly in Freetown, the capital city of that country, that I would bring forth lessons, and I would be taking two other gentlemen with me, and we would go as a team to teach the Word of God. That trip has been completed. The Pine Top Church of Christ helped support us in that journey, and we're here to make presentations, and we will be doing that today, starting at 9 o'clock, 9:45, and 4:30. But I will tell you, you want to come to all three of these services if you can, because all three services will be about the work at the Church of Christ and the Lord's work in Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. It's amazing how we got over there. It's amazing how we were invited to be over there, and we were invited to come. It's amazing the story of the Lord's work that's gone through for the last decade since we started doing the work over there. And we want to take, and we've got over 225 slides that we're going to walk through the history, explain the history, and we'll start from the beginning at 9 o'clock, and at this evening at 4:30, we'll finish with the last trips that we have taken and what the future holds, we see, Lord willing, for the work of doing His work in Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. There are many things that happen on trips like that. And one of the very first questions that was asked us way back in 2009 when we took the first trip, I can remember a husband and a wife standing there, very poor, as it is a poor country. It's a third world country. Poverty is there. Corruption is there. They've been in a civil war over there. They've come out of that. They've just had another election. There's still issues going on. Their economy is tanked, basically. We're so fortunate here in the United States, even though we have uprisings and we have political issues. We need to sit down and thank God for the blessings we have, and maybe we need to visit other countries like Sierra Leone to realize the type of blessings we have. But this couple was talking to us after we had presented a lesson or two in a public place of about 400 people being there. And they ask us, is God ashamed to be called our God? And they were referring to the fact that the country of Sierra Leone contains poverty, corruption, that people want to turn to God, but also they're very superstitious, they would say. They have their tribunal religions. They have also other denominational religions. They have different things. And that God has to be wondering why they are so confused and why they give in to so many different sins. Sexual immorality is prevalent over there tremendously. They even have a saying of having a child the Sierra Leone way, which would be a child out of wedlock. A lot of single parents, a lot of orphans, a lot of just poverty beyond means, and more immoral issues beyond means that we would think of. But that question has stuck with me, and I have thought about it, and I've given lessons on it. But just think about the question, is God ashamed to be called our God? You know, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, all through those verses there, all the way down to verse 40, it talks about faith, and it talks about those who had faith and how they dealt with things. And there were certain issues that they just had problems with. So as we think about that, God is not ashamed to be called the God of people if those people are doing certain things that would not bring him shame. For instance, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, and in verse 4, we could make the point that God would not be ashamed to be called the God of those that have believing faith in him. The scripture of 1 John 5, 4 reads, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." But we must understand it's not just our faith only. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about having obedient faith. He's talking about those that have faith, but they also have an obedient faith to where they will yield to everything that he wants them to yield to. That's God's ways. He is our creator. He is the one that has given us the great gift of grace, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23, Jesus himself, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, brings out this thought that would show us it's not just about having faith, but it's about doing the will. He says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What's it saying here? Having faith in the Lord is not enough. We must obey his will. No matter if we're doing these things that they mentioned here, no matter if those people, if they said, "Lord, Lord, we've done this for you and we're doing this for you," there was something amiss in their life, and that was that they were not obeying his word as they should. For instance, if we went on to verses 24 through 27, a very simple explanation Jesus gives is this: "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," now notice this, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." It wasn't enough just to hear the words, evidently, but it had to be doing them. For he explains that in verse 26 and 27. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So it's not enough just to have faith in him. We must obey his word and do his will the way he wants us to do it. It could be put this way: we must have a conviction for the truth as the Lord has taught it. I've been asked the question before, what is truth? And we find that question, obviously, in the New Testament. My simple little answer to that is this: truth is that which agrees with final reality. John 12, 44 through 50 will tell us about what's going to be the final reality. It's the words that Jesus brought from God that's going to judge us. Those words that he's taught to us through the scriptures that we have the inspired writers writing to us are the words that we must obey. We must have this conviction for those words. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and in verse 58, he gives encouragement to brethren. That would be the brethren who have obeyed his word, have met him, according to Mark 16, 15 and 16, and in Matthew, the situation of the I'm going to get my tongue tied here. Matthew, the situation where he's talking about all authority has been given to him, and that they are to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What he's doing is he's giving them, these are things that have to happen. We have people today that say baptism is not essential. Why did Jesus state that it would be essential? It's something that you must do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew the 28th chapter, as I was with my tongue tied trying to get out. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, notice, all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The conviction for this truth, Acts 22:16. Here's the important part for us to understand about this. For those in the audience that do not listen or do not believe that baptism is essential for salvation, notice this, that even if you're saved before baptism, that Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, he said these words in Acts 22 and in verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Now, here's something interesting. To get rid of the sins, they had to be washed away. He said, then calling on the name of the Lord. What's he saying? What are you waiting? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's not enough to have faith in him. It's not enough to just say, okay, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We must obey his word. We must have a conviction for the truth. Who gave Ananias what to say here? Who gave him those words? He was given those words to teach to Saul of Tarsus, you have made a turn, but you still have sins. They have to be washed away. So in dealing with our friends from over in Sierra Leone, we say to them, no, God is not ashamed to be called your God, our God, or anyone's God, as long as you have faith in him, and this faith is an obedient type faith, to obey his words, and you have conviction for those words. You have conviction for that truth. The other thing is that you must practice what those convictions are. If you live those convictions, if you teach those convictions, if you practice those convictions, he's not going to be ashamed of you. In Matthew 15, 7 through 9, hypocrites, he says to the Pharisees, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. My friend, here's what we need to understand. God is not going to be ashamed to be called our God. If our faith in him is an obedient faith to where we obey his words, if we have conviction for his truth, and we practice what we are to do with those words, we must put aside all of our traditions, all of our personal feelings, and we must yield to God. Again, we want to thank you for being part of the radio program this morning. We want to remind you the way I live, that God should not be ashamed to be called my God if I'm living for him as I should, according to his word, and that conviction we should have to his word, practicing what his word teaches us. This is what we tell our friends over in Sierra Leone. This is what we would tell you also. The Bible teaches the same here as it does there. Now, I want to remind you again, 1102 Pine Top Road, the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs here, the Pine Top Church of Christ will be meeting at 9 a.m., 9:45 a.m., and 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today, all three services will be dedicated to showing slides and talking about the work of the Lord in Freetown, Sierra Leone, West Africa. There will be slides that will be very emotional slides to talk about. It will be difficult for us to see. My encouragement to you is you have teenagers, you have young people, you sometimes look at how fortunate they are and wish they could see how fortunate they are. You come to our services today at 9 a.m., 9:45 a.m., 4:30 p.m., Central Standard Time, Pine Top Church of Christ. They will be able to see young people struggling and suffering just to live, just to get a cup of rice, and yet praising God Almighty for what that cup of rice is doing for them, of sustaining them. Thank you so much for letting me be your speaker today. May you have a good day and always serve the Lord.